Hey, this is Winston Zeddemore, CEO of Zeddemore Industries and member of the original Ghostbuster team. You're listening to Why We Bust, brought to you by the Windy City Ghostbusters and Memoriam Development. We're talking about members in the community and giving back. So suit up, shut your traps, dial in your PKE, and keep busting. Because it still feels good. And before you ask, no, I did not catch the number of that ghost train. Sorry, I missed it.
All right, welcome everyone. Hello, the Windy City Ghostbusters are excited to present the preeminent show focused on the charitable side of ghostbusting. We're here to meet all the incredible people from all over the world that dress like khaki-covered exterminators, lugging around 30-pound light-up backpacks, all in the name of putting smiles on faces and helping people. We'll find out what makes them tick and hear their take on exactly why they bust. I am your host, Patrick Calvert, and I'm flying solo today. Sometimes we've got James Norman, our producer, on here. Sometimes Matt my co-host is here, but I'm flying solo, and I can't imagine I would be in better company than with today's guest from Report All Ghosts. Jamie Hodges is with us today. Jamie, welcome to the show.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me back.
I'm excited. First of all,
I've never formally been here, by the way.
I think we had to. Well, we had a rule. We weren't going to risk our first season having you out here. We know that there's just an inherent danger to having you on, and we didn't want to get canceled or anything right out front. So,
the thing is, I've always been in the shadows. I'm really more of an Easter egg that was teased for season two. So if anyone wants to do like a deep dive video on that, you're going to have to go back and rewatch all of Why We Bust.
I wouldn't wish that upon anyone, but it has been something a long time in the making. And, you know, real quick before we get too far in, I do want to remind everybody listening to go ahead, like and subscribe on whichever platform you're enjoying the show right now, and leave a wonderful positive review. And if it's a negative review, I'd be curious to read it. Try and keep them positive. And I really just want to also say real quick, Jamie, I can't help. Is this the first time you've had a setup with the Ecto going behind you?
I've teased it a little bit on social media. I'm between studios right now. Uh-huh. I'm actually in the process of renovating a brand new office/film studio space.
Oh, really? Very cool.
And, that's the new HasLab Ecto behind me, but life has been so crazy, and you've seen no video content on this because while it looks really cool in the background, I've done absolutely nothing to put it together.
Yeah.
I took it out of the box. I said, wow, that's big. And then it sat on a table, you know, since January.
I will say, so I have wanted, you know, a scaled Ecto like that for so long. A detailed Ecto like that since I was a kid. When Kenner brought their Ectos out in the 80s and I got mine. I was born in 83, so I was kind of prime real Ghostbusters age when that all came out. Mm-hmm. And none of my I would never be able to resell the Ecto. I think I have a couple. I think I have the original and the Ecto 1A, but I would break apart radios or electronics that would break, and I'd unscrew them, and I'd pull out all the little resistors and gizmos on the inside and start gluing them to the top of
in there. Yeah.
Just hodgepodge whatever I could to try and make it look a little bit more like all the crazy stuff on the movie version. So having that out, I was so disappointed at the fact that I had to be an adult and realize that I have absolutely no shelf space to display.
Oh, right. No, I'm going to have to rearrange the entire situation. That is a project in of itself.
I was thinking, I can just get rid of some of these books, but they're not all mine. And it's not a decision that only I get to make. And I still, you know, my wife was very supportive and didn't roll her eyes too much at my excitement when the HasLab a Proton Pack came out.
The 84 one, or
the original, the one that came out a few years ago, the Spengler pack, the Phoebe pack.
Yeah.
And the idea of where we were going to put such a thing never crossed her mind until it actually got here. And I sat it on the dining room table, and you know, it just was so massive. And
that's a problem for future Patrick.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was one that, you know, no questions were going to be asked, but with that Ecto, the questions were asked, and I had to be realistic that if I did get it, it would be put in a box and brought to a storage unit until I win the lottery and get a new house that can fit all of my all of my stuff. They used to have a space.
Is this the long way of saying that you didn't get it? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Right, did I? I'm sorry. I should have led with that. Probably. Didn't know. I didn't get it. Darn it.
Oh, man.
I wanted.
You see, I've got a bad case of FOMO when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I do too.
I did the same thing with the Phoebe pack because you brought it up. I said, I have proton packs. I've got 3 proton packs that I haven't even started on top of the one that I rock like normally.
Right.
And then it came and went. And I was like, man, I kind of want a Phoebe pack.
I know.
Lucky enough, I was able to come into possession of one. But that being said, now there's the 1984 pack. And I'm like, I don't need another.
I didn't get that one either.
I haven't either. But every time someone posts something like, hey, it's back on sale, I'm like,
I know.
Should I?
Is it back? Did it come back on sale? Did I miss that?
Well, so what Hasbro had said in either. I think it was actually during the recent holiday telethon for Yes Have Some, they had Emily on, and she had explained it that basically things are going to come in and out of stock. And so occasionally it's one of those things where like, if you really want one, yeah, you just got to be paying attention. It's completely random, but like people are still buying them. So there is time to have some FOMO. Plus it was just announced that they're pushing it back from March to May.
Yeah.
So that window just became longer.
A little
so
bit longer.
You've got time to get rid of more books.
Or kids. That's where everything used to go, and those became bedrooms.
It's like, who is it? Marie Kondo. You have to ask yourself, does this spark joy?
They're the trade-offs. It's the bad thing about me having to become an adult, unfortunately. But I had that same thing with that 84 pack, because I'm perfectly fine with mine. But then I started to go, well, I think they probably tweaked those electronics a little bit better.
It's not
going to be as fragile. Yeah. We don't have to deal with those mods just to keep it running. And I was like, oh, and then there's the fear. We do a lot of parades with the Windy City Ghostbusters, and when the weather isn't great at some of those, it's, do I leave this in the car? Do I bring this out?
Because and that's another thing. They say constantly when they make these things, while for legal reasons they can't tell you to mod it.
they do
certain things with cosplayers in mind. But that being said, I have never once taken my, like, if it's even a light drizzle, I'm like, nope, you're staying in the house. Because I've got, again, several other proton packs. The main one I've had probably since like 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I call the veteran because it's literally survived in the backseat of a car, like a really bad car crash.
Oh, really?
It's still going this many years later. So that one can take a light drizzle.
Right. I've thought about it because it was, well, maybe I just grab one of those life-size spirits and use that as the backup.
I see that kind of stuff and I laugh at it, but then you see it in person and that makes all the world a difference. I've seen so many people in my franchise do so many cool things, and the limit to how cool your Ghostbusters gear is always just what you want to put into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's one of the cool things about these collectibles that exist is there's no longer like it used to be incredibly expensive to build a proton pack, like not far off when you do the math. You could still go that route today, but if you do the math, it's something no shorter than like a car, like a new car payment, a down payment on a car.
Right. No, you're right. And yeah, I mean, because if you want, let's say you build a max factory pack. What exactly is that? That's minimum $5,000. Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. That's a route you can take. But I guess that's my point, is there's no longer that like high shelf. You can enter at any level of ghost busting that you want to enter at,
right,
and still have an amazing time. And probably, if to the layman, you're going to look just as cool standing next to the rest of your team. No.
And that's a thing. And I will say this, I mean, as much as I know that, and you're probably one of the people that, you know, like me, you're trying to see the shape of the logo on the resistor on the ion arm, let me just see quite what's there. But at the same time, when folks show up with, you know, the HasLab or a spirit pack, it takes me a second when I look at it. You know, I've got to check the bumper. Okay, is that bumper? That's me with as many hours as I've spent staring at pictures of the screen used ones. If anyone that isn't me or you, you know, is going to a parade or anything like that, they're not noticing.
They don't care.
Anything like that. And that's how, what got me in was the HasLab, because I do not have the basement space or anything to just set up what is needed to do justice to building a real proton pack. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done a trap, you know, like a Benekent kit with a trap and the Charles Worth Dynamics, you know, 3D printed trap like that. I can do Belk Gizmo. That's, you know, those are things that can fit in a box when you're done and tuck them away. But the proton pack, you need the space. And I did mention that to somebody at Ghost Core when I was talking to them last year. It was, you know, they were talking about the charity work that everybody's doing, how great it is. And I said, well, just so you know, when you guys, you know, allow for the licensing on those prop replicas, it boosts the people that are joining up and making it possible to raise money, because I'm one of them.
It's absolutely just, it's more accessible, I think, than even, and again, I don't know how long you've been doing it, but I've been doing it a long time.
Not as long as you. This is my third year.
Yeah. In the infancy of the internet, before you even really had social media, the way you linked up with other Ghostbusters fans is either by complete chance, or there is like, there, I assume it still exists. I haven't looked in a while, but there was the regional section on the GB fans message board. And occasionally people would like arrange meetups and stuff.
It's still there. There's not a ton of activity, but
I'm sure. Yeah.
I looked at that, but so you could probably go back to the first proton pack plans that I printed out were was it Norm Gagnon?
Yes, absolutely.
Plans and that involved, you know, like cake pans that you know, modify, and
a Pringles can still doesn't make a bad in filter.
Yeah. Right. And again, who's going to notice other than, you know, a few people? But that was, I had those plans printed out, and it was just a matter of, you know, can I get my parents to take me on enough trips to Home Depot to try and build it? And I never quite got the thing started, but it was there. And
I had one in walking distance. I remember the very first proton pack I ever made was completely out of wood, which was an absolute mistake. I wore it out very randomly to like some street festival or something we had like here in town. I didn't know what a Comic-Con was. I didn't have any other like Ghostbuster friends. I'm like, you know what? I just want to show off my gear. I'm going to be the biggest nerd on the street today. I think I wore it for all of like 20 minutes and I literally threw it in a nearby trash can. I said, nope, I'm done with this.
Right. Yeah. Well, the weight, I imagine, if you were like me, is especially if you, in Ghostbusters 2, I mean, you hear the story of Bill Murray just in general, how he feels about the proton packs, but then him throwing that on and stumbling around the courtroom. So if you don't put that on and it pains you the moment you put it on, you probably are thinking, this isn't too bad.
Are you even wearing a proton pack? You know, if you're not in a little bit of pain, if you don't feel a light tingle in some part of your body, you're not wearing a proton pack.
I think that is the overwhelming feeling at the end of the day. Yeah, I always say the first 90 minutes are great when I'm doing an event. Then after that, that's when I start to feel it. And I don't know if it would feel different if I were younger. As I got into this, I think I was 40 when I started.
The older I get, that's pretty much the feeling I have about any social gathering. I'm good for about 90 minutes. And then I very audibly say, okay, I'm done here, and I leave.
I don't think I can do any more good here, so I appreciate the invite.
I've done my part.
Well, I think I've had to have that conversation with my friends where it's like, at least give me the courtesy of turning you down before you just assume I'm not going to show up.
Right.
So, you know, we kind of dove right in here, Jamie, but you have alluded to it, or not even alluded to it, you've talked about just how long you've been doing this, but why don't we go back a little bit?
To the
beginning. where does Ghostbusters start with you?
It was 1989. They were all in at Hardee's. No, that's actually kind of the wild thing. So, I mean, you had mentioned that you were born in 83, right?
On June 8th. So Ghostbusters Day is my birthday, which is why I never attend any Ghostbusters Day events, because there's usually
something better going on that I can't bow out of. I don't know if that's an excuse, Patrick. I expect to see you there next year. You have your birthday. All your friends are already in New York.
That's true.
So what else could you possibly be doing?
I just have to misbehave enough where my wife will want me out of the house.
Just leave.
Just get out and please give us a few days. Yeah.
You've got 6 years on. No, right. Wait. Yeah, 6 years on. I was born in 1989.
Okay.
And that... it perplexes me sometimes how I would have latched onto it as hard
you
as I did.
You came in the void.
Right. Well, I mean,
you
I would
came
have
of
come
age
out,
in the void.
I would have came out in, or I would have came out. I entered this world at the time where Ghostbusters 2 would have been at its height. So of course there would have been a lot of marketing and stuff, but I'm a literal infant. There's no, like, I'm not soaking any of that stuff in.
Or were you?
Well, but the thing is, so like back then, movies took a lot longer to come out on VHS. Mm-hmm. I remember like clocking it when I was a kid. If there was a movie I really wanted to see and it just came out in theaters, it might be like 2 years before I see it on VHS.
Right.
So I have to assume my parents decided like, hey, we really want to check out this Ghostbusters 2 thing, because there is footage of me at 2 years old wearing a Kenner Proton Pack and very like on... key reciting every line there is to be said in the courtroom battle scene of Ghostbusters 2. My parents got me hooked on phonics, and it worked for me. Because obviously, like, at a very young age, I started soaking it up. And again, like, I guess it's hard to believe that some of this Ghostbusters stuff would have been more readily available back then, because some of those toys, even that I remember having growing up from the Kenner line, mm-hmm. came out several years before I was even in the world, but somehow
you acquired them.
I mean, there was definitely a good handful of things that I didn't have, like what do they call it? The Ecto Charger, but it was the slime blower from Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, I didn't have that one.
A lot of people didn't have that one. And then there was even like a ghost sniffer, you know, like the one Peter mm-hmm. uses. But I had a lot of the other like oddball stuff. So my parents absolutely went out of their way to like fuel that into my life. And that was sort of my fandom. I think everyone sort of like has their thing. My dad's mm-hmm. really, I mean, there's of course many more options now for people out there. But a lot of it when we were growing up depended on what was fed to us by our parents or what was on like Saturday morning cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. And so that was my thing pretty much for life, to a point where, and you bring up the proton pack plans, I remember going to middle school and it was like the first day I had a binder with all of those Paranorman like plans in it.
Yeah.
And I had people on the bus making fun of me, like, look at this guy over here. He thinks he's going to build a proton pack. Little Jimmy over here.
That is something that, and I feel like it's faded a little bit and in a great way, but
if you were
passionate about anything that was mm-hmm. not exactly mainstream, it was a source of ridicule. And I born in 83, so Star Wars toys and things started to fade out by the time I was 5, 6, you know, in Ghostbusters. So Star Wars and Ghostbusters were an interest at the same time, but I couldn't find Star Wars toys, but nobody else was into Star Wars. So it was just my mom. I remember getting, you know, Star Wars, you know, birthday stuff. And it's like, Mom, no, I don't want anybody knowing that I like this stuff here. Right. And I think it's a little bit more accepted now to have a little bit of a geek interest.
Well, because being a nerd is just like part of pop culture, right?
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff, it, like you said, is much more mainstream. A lot of the things, you know, even on streaming, a lot of TV shows and stuff that are out right now is the kind of stuff that comes like right out of nerd culture.
Right.
And you've got a more general audience like reaching that sort of thing. Even something as like what would have been underground when it came out, but is much bigger now, is something like Dungeons and Dragons, you know. The same thing can absolutely be said about Ghostbusters, because I mean, while I think the community as a whole has existed in individual parts since 1983, because there were people making Ghostbusters costumes, you know, back then, as soon as that movie came out. But then again, like any other community, as time went on and things became more accessible, now we are this insane entity that we are now, you know, that's evolved to a point where we're doing some of this charity work and stuff that you've mentioned, which is something that I don't think anyone would have even considered back in 1983. And some communities don't do now, not to put them down. I'm just saying that's one of the things that I think makes Ghostbusters like unique.
I agree. And and especially when so much of it was happening, not that people weren't connected, because there have been great hubs to keep the community connected online. But at the same time, and this is part of sort of, you know, what this whole show that started from was, why is it seem to be a default within the Ghostbusters community that when we do get together and nerd out and put on our proton packs and flight suits, you know, we want to pair it with something, and we want to be connected to the community, and we want to be putting smiles on people's faces. And that was, you know, what got me started too, was that proton pack sitting on the dining room table and my wife going, what are we going to do with this? And I had to think fast to make it sound good. And I said, you know, there is a charity group I know in the Chicago area. And I think I'm going to look them up, and this might be something I can actually, you know, make, you know, do some good with. And then,
so this is like really relatively new to you.
For me, I knew things existed. I watched Ghost Heads when that came out, and you know, everyone has their own opinion on that.
Right.
But at the same time, as soon as GB fans came around, I was on that site, and you know, Halloween time, a few different years, I was buying things from there to put together a costume at the end, but on the forums. And so I knew that this stuff existed. But you know, you've been in this a while. So how did you first kind of come about hearing that you could do some good with the effort you've made?
Things definitely evolved again because I've been doing it so long, like in these sequences. So in 1999, in the dawn of the internet, I became incredibly frustrated because Jeff Foxwell says, because busting means doing good. Jeff Foxwell is the now president of our charity franchise, Ghostbusters Virginia. I dragged him into it at some point in time, and he's been doing some incredible work. And that's a phrase that we've kind of coined here in VA, is that busting doesn't just feel good, but it means doing good. but yeah, in the ripe age of 19, let me back up a little bit. In the year of 1999,
the year of our Lord,
right? In the dawn of the internet, there was a lot of Ghostbusters 3 rumors flying around, right? This is stuff you don't hear a lot about now, just because, I mean, we're in the age where we're, what are we on now? three. How many Ghostbusters movies are there? I haven't seen them.
Six? Are we on six?
Six. I think we might. We're on like. Hold on. So we got.
We include 2016.
I mean, just in general, yeah, 2016. And then so we're on five.
Five. Okay.
We're on Ghostbusters 4 out of five movies, and we're talking. You know, we're still waiting on Ghostbusters 5. That's insane. But yeah, back in 1999, it had already been 10 years since we had a Ghostbusters
movie. And I remember in 96, 97 being told that there was a Chris Farley version.
Right. And that kind of went on until 1999 because they were talking about like Will Smith and Chris Farley. And a lot of people think that Chris Farley's unfortunate and untimely passing was kind of the nail in the coffin for like that idea at the time. Mm-hmm. But according to Dan Aykroyd, for like 10 to 20 years, Ghostbusters 3 is always starting to film in the spring of 1999, you know, 2003. But anyway, I got incredibly frustrated at 10 years old and started writing my own script for Ghostbusters 3. Mm. Now, I wouldn't end up making that script until 2009 with who is my best friend, someone I call my hetero life mate, Matt Adams. We mm-hmm. went to high school together, and I convinced him to make a feature-length Ghostbusters movie with me. While we're, you know, only between the ages of 18 and 20 yeah. years old, which was relatively unheard of at the time, because of course now we're in a digital age, where an 8-year-old can make a decent film on their phone.
You're right.
We had like JVC film like camcorders, and we're mm-hmm. like plugging it up with audio video cords and hooking that into our computer and being like, this is 360 frames and it looks fantastic.
Right.
But we did it, and it's not great, but I always like to say like that was an incredible learning experience, because of course now I'm still doing some of that kind of stuff today. I took that with me forever. But back to that fan film, at that time, it was a big enough deal where we held a premiere at one of our local historic theaters and packed the house. But at that screening, we met a gentleman named Dan Harshman, which a lot of people have come to know and be familiar with in the community. Mm-hmm. And he, unbeknownst to me, was only like 2 hours away in Virginia Beach, whereas we're in Richmond, Virginia. So we kind of actually got to meet each other for the first time. And he was doing this whole, I think he had like a free webs page or something called Ghostbusters Virginia. And every once in a while he dressed up with his fans, and he had a killer kit even then. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, it wasn't really much of anything except for, you know, him trying, we were doing our thing up in Richmond. He was doing his thing down there. But at some point in time, shortly after our movie came out, I moved out to California, but I didn't know anybody, but I still had the itch to do like Ghostbuster stuff. I'm coming hot off the release of my movie. And I'm introduced, I guess it probably would have been either through social media, because MySpace existed then.
Right.
or it might have been.
Who was in your top eight? Was it top eight or?
Top eight, yeah. Tom, of course. He's the number one.
Always.
Because you didn't have a choice. But we're really aging ourselves. But at some point in time, I linked up with a group called the SoCal Ghostbusters out in mm-hmm. California. And at that time, I was sort of introduced to what a larger entity could do, like as a group of Ghostbusters and how they went out to events and stuff. I was very fortunate to meet Sean Bishop, which is definitely like an old head in the Ghostbusters mm-hmm. community. He had a spectacular ecto at one point in time. I think he sold it off, unfortunately. But they were going out to events and they were having fun. And I was seeing this sort of like social element of like people with this common interest coming together. And as a charity group, Ghostbusters hadn't really like crossed that line yet. Mm-hmm. Like that in of itself is actually still, you see so much of it, it doesn't feel that way. But the charity aspect is still a relatively new concept. Mm-hmm. Because at that point I had come back to Virginia after living out there for about a year and a half, and I get with Dan and I say, you know, they're doing this out on the West Coast, we got to start like getting together, let's do some events and stuff. And I remember the very first one we ever did was just like a little free library convention where there's no intent. We just like set up a table and threw out a bunch of Ghostbusters props and maybe like some coloring sheets or something and said, here we are. Come, you know what I mean? Like for a long time.
Did you
time.
Have a group name yet?
Yeah. I mean, I think we just kind of ran with Ghostbusters Virginia. We did this weird like division thing for a while because again, we were younger and lived 2 hours apart. So, I mean, even in the time span in which I've known Dan, we've spent a lot of time together, but it's not like we get to see each other all the time.
Sure.
So we're doing just a lot of events here in Richmond where I had kind of put my little group together. And again, he was doing his thing and we met up sometimes. But as time went on, more people started tacking on and it became this sort of like snowball thing. We are like a military state in the sense that we have several bases here. So there's been a lot of members who come and go for whatever reason. Cause you know, a lot of service people move around a lot and that's fine. But, again, thanks to the, positive side that is social media, people continue to find out about it. And we're doing events. So, of course, we encourage other people to come in because it's hard to miss a Ghostbuster. You've done more than enough events now where I know, you know, people come over and there are some people that are generally curious. A lot of times it'll be like someone our age who just wants to know, like, how the hell you built that thing that's on your back. You know what I mean? What's that made out of?
Let me give that a tug. You get the how much that weigh and how much does that cost you?
Right. You
know,
yeah.
And all that. Yeah.
But that's what draws them in. And then you say, you know, hey, we now, of course, at some point in the course of Ghostbusters fandom history, and I wish I knew who to credit. It doesn't matter at this point because we're all doing amazing things. But at
Can we just say you? Let's say you.
No. not for what I'm about to say.
Well, let me put a new banner up here.
No. But at some point in time, someone in the community said, hey, let's use this thing to do something good. And there, you know, of course, there's other large fandom groups that do that sort of thing, like the 501st, the Star Wars. If anyone's ever unfamiliar with what we do, I always say, like, you know, like the Star Wars guys.
Right. But slightly less anal.
Right. Well, but also it's because for a long time, until we had these two new movies come out, Ghostbusters was still somewhat niche, you know, unless you were like into collectibles or something like that and keeping track of that sort of thing. So it was easier to relate it to that. But of course, it's become such an entity. And you see reports in the news all the time about people, you know, doing good things in their community. And I'm constantly impressed with all the new ways we come up to raise money. And then you got like Sony Pictures and Ghost Corps finally stepping in and saying, hey, let's do this Ghostbusters Give Back initiative.
Yeah.
And when you see all of these things, and of course, I'm someone who's been to like Ghostbusters Day every single year since it's kicked off for like
the past,
you're gonna get there. I'm gonna drag you there if I have to. But when you see these things, you realize like it's this positive snowball that just keeps rolling and building. And having done this for as long as I have, seen it be just like a whisper of a couple of nerds and Ghostbusters adjacent costumes to what it's become today, I'm just really excited to see what it will continue to be. Exactly. At some point in time, I'm going to get too old to like wear a proton pack, and I want to be able to just sit back and watch the younger ones, because we've got some pretty young people in the group. It's just interesting to see it continue to resonate.
Yeah,
and of course, even now, again, doing events, you meet a lot of young fans. People who, like kids that were who we were however many years ago, and they say, you know, can I be part of the team? And it's like, you know, when you're 18 till you're 90, I keep trying to leave. They keep dragging me back in.
That's what happens to Bob Anderson
at
Windy City, forever trying to retire.
I mean, kind of. So I'll say I have taken a little bit of a back seat because the older I get, the less I want to drive.
Yeah.
That's one thing about Ghostbusters Virginia is, as a charity group, we are now over, hello, Terry, as a charity group, we are now over 100 members deep. Like, wow. It's hard for me to keep track of now, so I always just say over 100. I know it's a relatively significant number. And we do events all the way from the tip of the state, which is up in Washington, D.C., down to the southern border, which is right on North Carolina. And I'm not going to go to all of them.
Right.
every member of our group who, you know, is ambitious enough to do all of them or comes out locally, they all do incredible work. And it's impressive to watch, like, having taken a little bit of a backseat. Because I'm tired.
Right. No, and deservedly so. But that's the beauty, and especially when you have a big team. Chicago's got, a big team as well. And I think this year especially, I think we're seeing there's just that realization from some of the folks that have been doing this a long time that it's gonna be okay if I just decide that I'm going to give myself a breather every once in a while.
Right, absolutely.
Going to keep moving forward. We have built a strong foundation here. And we're seeing that on our side. And there's a lot of young blood that's come around just the past several years that have, ran for leadership positions in our group and have a lot of, fun ideas and energy and things that, might have felt impossible several years ago. So everybody just decides to, we're not even going to bother going down that road, but you got some young ambition. That's
we just had the elections in our group for this year. And we've got some really great people coming into new positions with some really cool ideas, putting teams together. And I'm excited to see what we do in the next year or so. Cause it's been a second since I've checked the update. But we're pretty high up there on the list for Ghostbusters Give Back.
Yeah.
So I'm consistently impressed and proud to be a member of Ghostbusters Virginia.
Yeah.
And again, having done it for so long, there's definitely always a little bit of possession involved with something like that. Like there's I have a piece of that inside me, but at the same time, when it comes to taking that back seat, I've got a really great mentality of, it's their turn. You know what I mean? Let someone else have a chance.
Yeah. And I will say, I'll say this, Jamie, one thing that you have been mentioning and I think just in the fact that other people are stepping in to do it is I'm consistently impressed with the level of the high percentage of doers. And I've said this on the show before, but I mean, just going back to the fact that you made a feature length film with your friend, just because I sat down, I made the script. We're going to do this. I'm going to build this packet. There's just a certain level of that kind of bootstrap mentality where you just go ahead and you have to do it because especially with folks, from my generation, your generation, where there wasn't stuff readily there. And so if you wanted it, you had to create it yourself. And I think that mentality has carried itself over onto the charitable side as well. You get a little taste. It's like, well, we're going to go to a library. Great. And we're just going to build from there. We're going to do another event. We're going to this time, let's pick a charity that we can put on our table and say we're going to donate some money over to, wherever, Shriners or Toys for Tots or any of these things that are a great way to do it. And people just are constantly impressing me. And in your group has earned a reputation that I think everyone in the community,
Wait, are you setting me up?
No. I meant it in a good way. But we've got a couple minutes here and we haven't gotten to report all ghosts yet, something that
I
follow and enjoy. Could you touch base a little bit on the motivation to to start Report All Ghosts, and if anybody is not following it, what can they expect if they look it up on? I mean, you're everywhere. You're across all the major social media platforms with that. So can you touch base a little bit on that?
If you want me to tell people what to expect, they might not come watch. Honestly. So Report All Ghosts cropped up. It was sort of a long thing in the making, more or less, because I had actually started working with Ghost Corps in 2016 under my film production team moniker White Tiger Film Studio, which helps make all of my like larger form Ghostbusters content in regards to like short films and stuff like that. And we decided we got to do stuff in between when we're making movies. So we started doing unboxing videos. And one of the first major things we did was a Ghostbusters exclusive loot crate for 2016. And in that, you know, we got to sort of introduce myself to Eric Wright, who I've of course been talking to ever since. Who, of course, anyone who has had a chance to either listen to him talk on other podcasts or been lucky enough or fortunate enough to meet him in person, know he's done so much for the Ghostbusters community. I remember he like poured a ton of Ghostbusters creative assets on me to use for like promotional purposes. And as a Ghostbusters nerd, and just as a cinephile and film buff, I was like, wow, I have all of these things to play with. And they came from like the source. So then of course I got really, really into that side more so when COVID hit, because Ghostbusters Virginia didn't, I mean, no one had anything going on. So to keep up with the social media side of things, I started doing unboxing videos and stuff like that. You know, taste tests, whatever you can think. I was like, you know, let's check out this content creation thing.
Right.
But
you were one of the people doing the Ghostbusters 2 trading card bubble gum.
Right. Yeah. Like, what does 30-year-old gum taste like? Just spits out chalk. But at some point in time, things did get back to normal, and Ghostbusters Virginia wanted to focus on the charitable side of things, which is absolutely, you know, that's the idea, right? That's right. What they do. So I branched off, and then Report All Ghosts was created, because what it really stems from is a passion for Ghostbusters, right? The Ecto Cooler recipe. That's right. I've got an incredible Ecto Cooler recipe. I know everyone has their opinions and their favorites, but there's a really good one on the YouTube channel at Report All Ghosts if you want to check that out. But it all stems from passion for Ghostbusters, because, you know, I wrote and made a film back in 2009, and I've been wanting to do more film related projects since then. And as the world of, I guess, filming in general, like what people do with a camera, evolved, I have since evolved with it, but I still want to create Ghostbusters things and tell Ghostbusters stories. And that's what I do. Like, my goal and my motivation, I guess, is to just like share that passion with the community. And when I'm not creating content, the charitable, you had asked beforehand if I wanted to keep Ghostbusters Virginia and Report All Ghosts their own entity. And they very much so are, because Ghostbusters Virginia has worked hard to stand on its own as a charitable organization. And excuse me, very much so, Report All Ghosts should do the same thing. So I've tried my best, and while I've been doing this as long as I have, Report All Ghosts is still in its infancy. I think we're a little over the 3-year mark now. I believe so. I don't even know when I started doing it. It's all blurry now, but, you know, I also want to stand on my two feet. So while things, I always like to say where it is now is a symbol of how far I've come, because it's been a wild ride, you know, just being able to, because it's a daunting task, and you're doing the same thing right here tonight, to put yourself out there in front of people and use your voice and talk about the things that matter to you. But it's been a really pleasant experience being able to more vocally and directly be part of the community as a whole. And I'm incredibly appreciative for that, because again, having gone to events like Ghostbusters Day, or even a couple of red carpet premieres, there's this screen between us right now, but it's a completely different experience when you get to talk to people who interact with your content,
right,
and you find out how you've connected and what that means to them. And that fuels my want to do it. And when I'm not doing the content creation side, it's also still important to me to remember the charitable stuff, because I've, you know, been very fortunate to, you know, talk and work behind the scenes in a very minor way with the Buffalo Ghostbusters, because, you know, what they do is an incredible feat. I can't even imagine. It's my understanding that from the time a GB day ends to the beginning of a new one,
it's another full-time job.
Like they get absolutely. And so I commend them for that. But last year, particularly, I had the pleasure of writing on the evolution of Ghostbusters, much like what we're talking about now, but very small. For the whoyougonnacall.org newspaper. And so I was proud to be involved with that.
And that was such a cool little giveaway.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I've got, Ryan Espen is way too generous with those things. I'm starting to accumulate a small stack where I need to start pumping them back out into the community. If anyone watching tonight needs a whoyougonnacall.org newspaper, I will send it to you on the free. Because I wrote it. I don't need to read it anymore. And of course, you know, I always love to try and help out whoyougonnacall.org when I can. The New York Ghostbusters, whenever they're doing their holiday drive. I did a little bit of graphic design for them this year. And really, the most important part of all of it isn't how I can be involved, but how I can help boost the signal with anything that I do, because I'm not doing the work. I'm not out, like, I do my thing here at home, but you guys are out there putting your boots to the ground. And so what can I do to help more people know about it?
Right.
And that's also been a pleasure to be able to use my platform for. So, mean, I'm a part of the community and I love being able to connect with you guys in any way possible. And so while up until this point, it's been incredible, just like the Ghostbusters franchise as a whole, I'm excited to see where we can go together.
Yeah. Well, that's that generosity of spirit that you have, I think, is something that is carried throughout the community. And it's great. And it's not surprising too, you know, Jamie, with kind of your path as, you know, as a doer, you know, you got to keep what's interesting and new, and, you know, you kind of, you've started things, you've done it, you're seeing it grow, and your brain just keeps kind of clicking, going, well, what else? But I appreciate everything that you've done, and I appreciate the work that you've put into it. And it's folks like you that, you know, have given the reputation of generosity, you know. I don't know how I'm phrasing this poorly, but, you know,
you're doing great.
People are going to easily take for granted the fact that Sony is doing something like Ghostbusters Give Back. If we're fortunate enough to get a second year or third year with that, and that line between corporate and our fan franchises is just gets, you know, a little bit more blurred, people aren't going to realize, like, that was a long time in the making in order for that trust to be built, where they know that they can, that these groups are out here, but they don't have to be afraid of them, and they're going to be able to, you know, use it for some good PR too, and do some good on their own side. So I want to thank you for kind of being part of that early movement.
There's a lot of incredible Ghostbusters content creators out there who, you know, they're doing the same thing I am. We're all kind of on the same spectrum and the same wheelhouse, right? What I hope I can do is just give everything back to the Ghostbusters community that they've given to me to put me in this duly noted position. Yeah. And then also just provide a little bit of flavor, right? Because there's a lot of there's a lot of cheeseburgers out there, but maybe today I'm feeling a Whopper.
Yeah, sure. a little flame broiled.
Right.
So, Jamie, I can't thank you enough for the time you've given us tonight and sharing bit of your story. And I think we've only kind of scratched the surface with some of this. So if you don't mind, we might be tapping you on the shoulder at some point for a part two. And we'll want to make sure that we talk a little bit more. Maybe we'll focus a little bit more on some of your film work.
I think we can
go on for a while there.
Talk about movies and toys and you name it.
Absolutely. Yeah. We will pick your brain again, but I really do want to thank you for the time that you've given us tonight and sharing your story. And if you just want to give a quick plug again, Report All Ghosts and Ghostbusters Virginia can be found. Report All Ghosts, wherever you are in social media, you can find Report All Ghosts and anything going on with, with Ghostbusters Virginia that you want to plug? I know it's early in the season, so there might not be anything imminent.
It's very early.
Hanging out there. So
Ghostbusters Virginia has a few events that they're cooking up. One of the several small local ones, one of the first big ones that I know a lot of divisions sort of throughout the U.S. do is GalaxyCon. Mm-hmm. We have one here in Richmond that's pretty massive. We're trying to get ourselves on the main floor this year. We'll see how that goes. And that being said, big shows are big fundraising events for us. Mm-hmm. So it just means that we can give back that much more.
Yeah.
So, but Ghostbusters Virginia, one thing that's really cool is, you know, they're officially linked up with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but they find other things to give back to year round. Like in the spring, I think we've got a pet drive that people can look out for. Mm-hmm. We've got some really cool custom patches and stickers for that event that I think are coming Love back those. This year. Because pets, they need toys too. And food and all sorts of stuff. Shelters, people don't realize it. Shelters are in a big need. Proton Pets this April. See, Jeff is backing me up on that. Check out, that's a kind of a tip for other franchises. Check with your local you know, veterinary clinics or pounds or whatever.
Yeah, Windy City did our first promotion with a pet charity this past year. So
right, yeah.
They're great. They're great. So,
you know,
exciting stuff. And yeah, as the spring gets going, so do the events. So it'll start to get busy. But Jamie, you and Jeff and the whole team, always don't hesitate to reach out if we can help. You know, spread the word on something you're doing, and make sure that we can share different ways for people to help. Reach out, even if it's just giving you a quick plug. You know, hop on for a couple minutes at the start of a show. We're always, you know, happy to have you guys out. So thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely.
and everything that you've done over the years. It's been a pleasure on my part as somebody that's known you kind of from afar and known your work probably longer than I've known you, or known of you personally. But want to thank you very much for your time.
For sure. Thanks for having me. I'm glad I left my stamp. Looking forward to crashing a party in the future. Whenever you guys want to have me out, let's do it.
And we are overdue for something like that. And I will get in touch with you if I make it out to New York. Make sure that we're able to.
You're going to New York. I already told you, I'm dragging you out to New York. If it takes more than one of us, I've got people. Patrick, I've got people. We're going to get you there.
And you know what?
How tall are you?
I'm 6 feet tall, 250. So
that's a big boy.
So, well, down 50 pounds this year. I'm pretty happy with that.
Still suitcases out, but I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. 50 gallon barrel will still do the trick.
That'll suffice.
Yeah.
Plus a proton pack and jumpsuit. We'll see.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll see. But all right, man, I appreciate it. I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person one of these days. And I do want to thank everybody that joined us, for the comments, the questions. It's always a pleasure, and I want to thank everybody for your time. And please catch this on YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, Twitter, Spotify, Apple, wherever you find your podcast. You know, you're gonna find Why We Bust. Like, subscribe. We appreciate the support, and we will see everybody in a couple weeks. Take care. Bye bye.
Memoriam Development.